Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet a local former sailor turned singer and learn about a new device to help with PTSD-related nightmare disorder. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
On December 13, 1636, Massachusetts colonists banded together, forming a militia that defended their communities from attack. From those humble beginnings came today's National Guard, which proudly serves across our 54 states and territories. The iconic image of a colonial militia member setting aside their farmer's plow and picking up their musket still represents us well today. We may now also be software engineers, aviation mechanics, and other professionals our predecessors could not have imagined at the time. But our citizen airmen and soldiers continue to live as they did, ready to respond to the call of our state and nation. To those who have and those who continue to serve as members of our National Guard, thank you. Ours can be a challenging path to follow, but your service and the support of your families, employers, and communities ensures that we are a force that is truly always ready, always there.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is an entertainer that I think all of you have heard from, and if you haven't, you're going to get introduced to her today. Her name is Sailor Jerry, and you can find information about her at her website, Sailor Jerry Music. It's Sailor Jerry, J-E-R-R-I, music.com. And Sailor Jerry, I've been hearing about you from our friend Neil Freeman up at Bob FM, 106.1 FM, for a long time. He tells me that every time you come by the station, he has a great time with you on the air.
Oh, he's great, and I'm really excited to be on the air with you guys today.
Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I want to ask you questions now about the name Sailor Jerry. It came because you actually served in the United States Navy.
I did. I served in 2002 to 2006. I was part of the VFA 83 Rampagers, and I was a mech on 18s. So I spent some time on a carrier for a little while, and then I got out and came home to Minnesota.
So you got to tell us the truth now. I know you're a proud Navy veteran. Did you have a good time on that carrier, and did you have a good time as an aviation mechanic?
I did, actually. I had a great time. My military experience had almost no negatives. I mean, every job has negatives, but it was great. I got out for personal reasons because I had my daughter when I was in. And if it wasn't for that, I probably would have stayed. The carrier is an entirely different world. to be on a floating city, it's insane. But it was a really cool experience, and so I'm glad I got to do it.
Jerry, my son served in the Navy before you did, but he was on the USS Kitty Hawk. So I think I heard some stories that are maybe a little different from what your experience might have been.
I have heard not great things about the Kitty Hawk.
Well, it's out of service now, so there's no sense to beat up on it. But can do some great things on a carrier. They've, as you said, it's like a city. There's doctors and there's food and there's everything you'd need if you're out to sea. Did you get to go out on the ocean on the carrier?
I did. I didn't make a full deployment because of the rotation of when I was in and how it played out. But I was on the Reagan when it was first. We were testing all the launch gear for the jets, and so I was out to sea on it doing that at the beginning.
Now, I've heard a lot of good stories about the Reagan. That's supposed to be a beautiful aircraft carrier.
It was cool. It was really cool to be on it.
So when you were in the Navy, were you playing guitar? Were you practicing your music?
No.
When you were...
Not at all, actually. Well, sometimes I sang on the flight line, but I didn't get into singing other than at home and, you know, some tequila shot karaoke. But I didn't start playing guitar until 4 years ago. And I began playing because I was part of different military groups online. And a lot of veterans come home with a lot of issues. And we just want alternative therapies or things people can do. And music therapy is so important because, for instance, people with traumatic brain injuries or dementia might remember a song that they heard as a child, but they can't remember what they had for breakfast. So I said, I want to get into the music therapy thing. So I started playing guitar and singing at the long-term care at the VA in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And that's how I started playing guitar just 4 years ago, so I could play at the VA.
So you were training your voice on the flight line on the carrier when nobody else could hear you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. That is right.
Well, it must have worked pretty well, because we're going to listen to some of your music a little bit later in the interview, and you didn't hurt it any trying to sing louder than the noise on the flight deck.
Than the jets. Thank you. Jets. I appreciate that. Yeah, I could have done some damage.
We're speaking with Sailor Jerry on Minnesota Military Radio. And Jerry, I think I first heard of you. Maybe it was the first song that you published, and I think that you posted that online, didn't you?
Well, if you're thinking about Hallelujah, yes.
Yes.
That is the first one. So I started learning guitar, and I made a page because I had a lot of veterans who were just following my really, really crappy guitar playing, because I was so new at it. I was brand new, and they would give me songs to learn, and I would learn the songs, and I would say, okay, I learned the song you guys wanted, and I'd play it. And then they asked me to sing Hallelujah, but I didn't know all the words of the Leonard Cohen's original. So I rewrote it using the stories of all the combat veterans that I'd spoken to over the 5 years prior while I was part of the military support groups. So I used their words, and one of the greatest songs ever written, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, and I rewrote it. And when I posted that, I didn't expect anyone else to listen to it. I knew that the guys who followed me at the time would, but when I woke up, it had almost 1 million views, and then 10 million views in a week, about 50 million views in a couple months, and about 150 million views in a year. And now it's been 3 years and 3.5 years, and I have no idea how many views it has, and I don't want to know.
Jerry, I think the reason it had that many views is we could hear the emotion in your voice and singing Hallelujah, Veterans. What a way to introduce yourself to the country and to all of our veterans. What a great job. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. I get to do this. I'm so blessed to get to do this and get to have a job still where I get to be involved in the veteran community. I love it.
Jerry, we're going to leave this segment with some music that you've sent us. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Sailor Jerry about her career and all the work she's doing to take care of our veterans. Please stay with us.
When I raised my hand and swore to protect and serve this country when the devil was at her door. But Mama wasn't worried, because she saw the fight in me. She said, send the ones who are unafraid to make
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been interviewing a great new entertainer named Sailor Jerry. You can find out more about her at her website. It's Sailor Jerry, J-E-R-R-I, music.com. And, Jerry, what a great way to you started your work career in the United States Navy on an aircraft carrier where you practiced your singing, we found out, when no one could hear. And then... And then you introduced yourself to the world with Hallelujah, Veterans. And anyone that hasn't heard that, go out on Google and find it. It's worthwhile. You need to listen to it. And then, of course, I've heard you quite often on Bob FM 106.1 with our good friend Neil Freeman. And he's one of your biggest fans, I think. But I understand that as your career has progressed and you've done some albums, you've gotten to meet a lot of country stars that maybe you never thought you'd be meeting.
Yes, I've had a great opportunity to meet and play music with some great singers. I mean, one of the first ones was Randy Houser. He is just a super nice guy. Jamie Johnson, who sings In Color, which is really, you know, huge in the veteran community. I did some stuff with Thomas Rhett. And then a couple of times I've been down to George Strait's Tapatio Springs because I do an event with Faraday's Troops First. I actually just did an event with them in Kentucky at Fort Knox this last month. And so that was, it was great. We did a lot touching on veteran suicide and all that. And I sang some songs and yeah, so it's been crazy. And then I got to meet Reba when I was on the CMAs last fall. So it's been a crazy 3 years. That's for sure.
You know, it sounds kind of wild. All the rest of us kind of, we look for a chance to get George Strait tickets if he comes to town. And he was canceled because of COVID, of course, this year.
Yes.
And you get to go out and make music with him. That's wonderful.
It's crazy. He's as great as you hope he is. Everybody, I mean, he's an idol for a lot of people. And when they find out that I know him, like they say, is he as cool as we hope? Because you hope that your idols are as, you know, down to earth and great. And he is. He's literally just, he's great. His family's great. His son and his daughter-in-law are fantastic people. Like, his wife is great. So that's the coolest part about getting to meet and hang out with him is just knowing that they're real and fantastic people.
Jerry, my military producer, just looked up Hallelujah Veterans, and you're up to 4.5 million views. It's way past what we reported the first segment. But
the thing with that is, so on YouTube, there's 4.5 million views, but on Facebook, people downloaded it and started posting it on their own pages. And there are Facebook pages that have 100 million views on their own, not even counting mine. So the first year, it had about 150 million views on it in year one. It just wasn't all on my page, but we kind of tracked it. And so when people look at my page, I mean, the reach that it had in the veteran community was, it was so surreal. I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable, actually, knowing how many people it was. But it was cool. Like, and civilians, the biggest shock to me with Hallelujah was the messages I got from civilians, wives and daughters and sisters and brothers saying, I didn't get it before. They're like, this helps us see what people are dealing with. And that was huge to me because we know our issues. We know what we deal with, but this feeling community doesn't. And that started opening some doors, and that was a big deal to me.
Jerry, I'll bet you have to pinch yourself once in a while and say, is this real? Is this really happening to me?
Yes. Yes, I do. My family keeps me very grounded because they don't care. I mean, they're proud. They're like, oh, we're excited for you, but we don't care what you do for a job. So it's kind of
one of the family.
You know, we go places and people are really excited for me. And then I get home and they're like, yeah, whatever. Go do the dishes and do whatever.
So, well, that's our Navy veteran. She worked on the F-18s as a mechanic. What's this all about? But for our listeners, go to Sailor Jerry, JERRIMusic.com, and you can find out all about her music and understand that you've been busy writing in the studio. And have you got some new music coming out?
I do. We just recorded final vocals for the first single on the album. It's a really interesting story because I don't, I co-write, but I don't take other people's stories or poems and turn them into songs. It's not something I've been, you know, easy for me to do. But last year, I had a cowboy friend named Lyle. He wrote this poem. He does not write. He's not a writer. He just woke up one day. We happened to be at a horse show together. We show horses with them. And he gave me this poem and he said, you might not ever do anything with it, but I just felt moved to write this. And he gave it to me. And about 6 months later, I was thinking about it and I turned it into a song. And I loved it. And so we haven't put out any teasers or the title or anything yet, but it's just getting done. We're filming a music video and we're releasing it in the beginning of October. So the first single is coming out for the album in October, and then the album will be out next spring.
Congratulations, Jerry. And I've got one more question for you. I know that you attend and help with all kinds of veterans issues, but I think that you're working on a new project now called the Purple Bag Project.
Yes. Crown Royal contacted me last fall, and they wanted me to be a part of the Purple Bag Project. So what they do is they take that iconic purple bag from Crown, and they fill it with all kinds of essential things, and then they send it to the troops overseas. And what's really unique about that is they've been doing it for a decade, and they never advertised it. So for a company that big to be doing this great thing for 10 years and not advertising it really says a lot to me about their character, because for a short time it got trendy to be patriotic and it was trendy to be supporting veterans, but they've been doing it and didn't need the recognition. The reason that I was on the CMAs and I was on with TR and I was on with Reba pushing the Purple Bag Project is because the goal was to hit 1 million bags by the beginning of 2020, which they successfully did. And so, yep, they take the purple bags and fill them with cool stuff and send them to our guys overseas. And it's just a really cool thing. I was really excited to be part of it. And Crown Royal was amazing, and they were just great to work with.
Jerry, it's great to see a Navy veteran that's still remembering all of our service members, veterans, and their families. I'd like to thank you for helping with those efforts. And we want to wish you all the best in your career as a country artist and as a
thank
Navy
you.
Veteran, Sailor Jerry. And for our listeners, you can find more information about her and her music at Sailor Jerry, sailorjerrymusic.com. And Jerry, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as we leave today, we're going to leave you with another sample of music from Sailor Jerry.
Shed for this land with no fear. Not everyone can understand these stars, stripes. It flies because of sacrifice. It's yours and mine. United we will stand. The red, the white, and blue. Our faith is bulletproof. No one can take our pride. We say, don't tread. Yes, for the ones that die. So I'll stand up when it's raised for the sacrifices made for this land.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about a new device to help with PTSD-related nightmare disorder. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As the holidays approach, you may find yourself asking what you can do to support Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families. One way that you can show your support is by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate. These license plates are special because they are a gift that will continue to give year after year. Drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, together with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, we'll use your annual minimum contribution of $30 for the betterment of military families and homeless and underserved veterans around the state. To purchase these Support Our Troops license plates, visit your local DMV. Drive home your support this holiday season.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to learn today about a new device to help with PTSD-related nightmare disorder. And joining us now to talk about this is Grady Hanna, the CEO of Nightwear. Grady, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Grady, I understand you spent about 15 years out in San Francisco in high tech at Silicon Valley, and you moved back to Minnesota in 2014. What caused you to move from there back here, and how long have you been involved in Nightwear?
Well, I grew up in Minnesota, and I'm a proud Minnesotan. And while I really enjoyed my time out in Silicon Valley, I saw opportunities to interface with the inventive nature of Minnesotans. I think Minnesotans are very smart, thoughtful people, and they're inventors, but they don't necessarily know people that have built a product and built a company. And so I thought I could take some of what I had learned out in Silicon Valley and help to develop companies here in Minnesota. And that's how I came to know Tyler and his brilliant invention and what he had done for his father.
And there's a quick story about his father had come back from a deployment in Iraq and was having sleeping issues that were affecting him in the worst way. And so Tyler came up with this device. Can you describe to us just what it's supposed to do and how it works?
Absolutely. Nightwear was invented at an event held by the VA back in 2015, focused on using mobile technology to help veterans. And so Tyler was interfacing with experts in the field at this event, including someone who was in psychiatry residence at Walter Reed. And they were talking about the pervasive problem of nightmares. And of course, this was close to Tyler's heart because his father, Patrick Sklizacik, had returned from Iraq and experienced pervasive nightmares, which really, they don't just affect the veteran, they affect the whole family, the caregiver. And so it was a family issue. It wasn't just a personal issue to Sergeant Sklizacik. And so Tyler was able to help his father. And when we learned about it, it was just such a fascinating invention. So the nightwear runs on a smartwatch, and it collects the biometrics from the smartwatch, and then it uploads that to an AI backend. And then that profiles a person's sleep. And at that point, the application can detect when someone's entering a nightmare. It then intervenes by buzzing the watch at increasing intensity to arouse the sleeper from the nightmare without waking them. And Tyler followed the operating procedure of a service dog. Service dogs, for people with post-traumatic stress, they're trained that if they can tell that their master is having a nightmare, that they turn on the lights, sit on their chest and lick their face to wake them out of the nightmare, because people can injure themselves. They create a really difficult emotional state because these folks are reliving the trauma. And so that's really the model for nightwear. And with the added benefit of not waking someone all the way up so that they can remain asleep. These nightmares, inevitably, they wake someone up. And so have them be able to stay asleep, go into a different either REM stage dream or a different stage of sleep and stay asleep. We've seen a big effect on people's quality of sleep and ultimately their quality of life, which is very, very exciting.
We're speaking with Grady Hanna, the CEO of Nightwear on Minnesota Military Radio. Grady, of course, this all comes under the heading of mental health, and I understand that a nightmare disorder is a behavior that is linked to suicide, and if we don't do something about it, it can have some bad ramifications.
Well, nightmares are an issue that have just kind of been understood as part of PTSD, but it hasn't really been focused on as its own disease state. Outside of utilizing some off-label medications, and there are some evidence-based therapies, cognitive behavioral therapies that are used to try to treat nightmare disorder with varying degrees of efficacy. And this is a serious issue because you can imagine someone, they're dealing with the symptoms of their PTSD all day, and then they can't even escape those things in their sleep. However tough you are, however long you've been carrying this burden, whatever you're dealing with, if you're not having to also deal with nightmares and deal with having your sleep interrupted, waking up with memories of these traumas, if we can deal with that, your life is going to get better, whatever else it is you're dealing with. And that's our premise. Nightwear isn't a cure for PTSD, right? PTSD is a complex issue. Post-traumatic stress is a complex issue. But we want to focus on this one key element, which people consider a very pervasive, very high-impact part of the overall issue, and try to solve for that. And then, give people that tool so they can address the rest of their life with a little better outlook, a little more energy.
Now, Grady, at the beginning of the segment, we heard a message from the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs talking about SOT funds, support our troop funds, and I understand you got a grant from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to help do this startup and help develop this device.
We did. We're proud to have worked with the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. That's a group that the Support Our Troops program helps a lot of different veteran-focused organizations. And they saw an opportunity to work with us in a research capacity. And the team there, Mike McElhenney and Liz Kelly especially, were both very helpful throughout the process. And it's just a great team over there. And that money for a startup to be able to get the scientific evidence and the clinical evidence necessary so that the FDA, which we've received FDA clearance in the last month, and prescribers, they're able to feel comfortable prescribing this treatment.
Grady, I understand that you did some work with the Minneapolis VA hospital as well.
The Minneapolis VA was the first site. Let me start that over. Yes, the Minneapolis VA was our first site for our randomized clinical trial and early pilot trials. We worked with primary investigators in the mental health research group and had a great experience. We completed 65 people through the trial. Those are people that had been previously diagnosed with PTSD and had reported some level of nightmares. They were then rescreened and qualified for the trial. And it was a 30-day randomized controlled trial with a placebo. So people didn't know whether they were receiving the treatment or not. And everybody involved in the trial was blinded as to who was receiving the treatment and who wasn't. After completing that in March, there was a moratorium on continuing the trial because of COVID, and we just started up with the Tampa Bay VA again. But the data from the Minneapolis VA site, we were able to put that together, submit it to the FDA, and receive clearance. And the Support Our Troops program had a big role in helping us complete that in a timely way. And we are now an FDA-cleared product. So to go from 5 years ago, Tyler inventing Nightwear to help his dad, to now being an FDA-cleared product where we can help veterans and folks dealing with nightmares around the country, it's just extremely exciting.
Grady, we're going to have to take a short break. We're speaking with Grady Hanna, the CEO of Nightwear, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Grady Hanna, who is the CEO of Nightwear. And Nightwear is a firm that has developed a device that can help with PTSD-related nightmare disorder. Grady, you better explain this. It's easier for you to say. Can you tell me a little bit about the device again?
Sure. Nightwear is a digital therapeutic that runs on the Apple Watch, and it utilizes the sensors on the watch to collect data while someone is sleeping and uploads that to our back end, where we calculate and profile a person's sleep. At that point, we can detect when somebody's entering a nightmare, and the app intervenes by buzzing the watch at increasing intensity to arouse the sleeper from the nightmare without waking them by a mental health professional. And when the prescription is fulfilled, in the case of the VA through the prosthetics department as a durable medical equipment, they receive a phone, a watch, and the Nightwear program preloaded, and the device is provisioned to only run Nightwear. This is meant to be a device that sits at someone's bedside and is used only at night.
So, Grady, does it take a while for this device to learn the wearer and learn how they sleep?
Nightwear starts working within a week, and has a significant effect on people's sleep in a relatively short period of time. They don't have to wait weeks or months to start seeing the effects of nightwear.
Now, Grady, I understand that some of the veterans that have tried this, some of the people that have tried the nightwear, because they have the nightmare disorder, some of them may also have some daytime anxiety disorder. Does this device help with that as well?
So our FDA indication is focused specifically on nightmares, and that's been our clinical focus. Anecdotally, people have used nightwear for other conditions, but all of our communication and all of our focus is on nightmare disorder, and we'll continue to gather clinical information to support other claims, such as areas of interest include REM sleep behavior disorder, daytime anxiety. But in the case of nightmare disorder, it's such a significant issue, and there is no on-label treatment for nightmare disorder at this time. It's mostly off-label medications and some cognitive behavioral therapies, that we want to get this right first. And then as we develop more clinical evidence, as I said, we see opportunities to branch out into other mental health conditions. For instance, acute stress, which is a precursor to PTS. 80% of people who develop nightmares within 3 months of a trauma go on to develop PTSD. And so we have open questions as to whether, if we're able to get to someone early after, right after a trauma, could we clinically show reduction in onset of PTSD, which is very exciting.
Now, Grady, I want to ask you, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and a lot of my fellow Vietnam veterans have spent their whole life working, and some of them that have recently retired have time on their hands, and some of the old demons are coming back, and they're thinking about the things they did during the war, and they're having some a number of problems. Do you think that this nightwear might be applicable for some of them as well?
It certainly could be, and nightwear is designed to be extremely simple to use. Someone connects the phone to their wireless internet. They put on the watch, they hit start, and nightwear is working. We understand that people have different levels of technical interest and technical understanding. And so we always endeavor to make nightwear as easy to use as possible. And certainly, there are people that have been suffering in silence for decades, and they cope in one way or another. In many of them, they turn to self-medication. They might drink before they sleep so that they can get into a deeper sleep and have less of a chance of having a nightmare. And these are common stories, and these are serious problems. And so what's great about nightwear is it's something that's straightforward and simple for someone to utilize. And if all of a sudden they're dealing with this aspect of their difficulties, they might have a little more gas in the tank to start looking at some of the other issues that they're dealing with. You know, some people are averse to taking medications, and that's understandable. What's great about nightwear is it has this direct interaction in nightmares as they present themselves without being a medication.
Grady, this is a fascinating device, and I would guess that you'd tell our listeners that if they're interested in following up on it, they should talk to their primary care doctor at the VA Medical Center. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. Nightwear is a great Minnesota story and a great VA story. And if anybody wants to learn more, they can reach out at info@nightwear.com.
Thank you, Grady.
Thank you all.
That was Grady Hanna, the CEO of Nightwear. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, I'm glad to be back.
Greg, we've had a tough year in 2020 with the COVID pandemic and everything that's going on, the shutdowns. How are all your veterans doing down in Brown County?
Well, they're doing good. They're still sheltering in place. We have a lot of elderly veterans. But they're hanging in there. The American Legion is having, they just had a roasted chicken dinner the other night, and they sold out in about 20 minutes. So they're coming out, and they're supporting our veterans organization still.
Very good, sir. We want to talk today about TRICARE. Can you explain to me what that is?
Yeah, TRICARE is the Department of Defense's health insurance program. And people who are on active duty have TRICARE. People are in the Guard and Reserves have it. I have it as a military retiree. Some dependent children have it. So it's the Department of Defense health insurance program. And there's some big changes coming up for 2021.
So there's changes coming for 2021. Who are they going to affect, and what does it amount to?
It's going to affect the people who are called retirees, such as myself, that are have not yet reached age 65 or are not on Medicare Part B. So there's a window of retirees in there, usually from maybe age 40 to 64 is what we're talking about. TRICARE is adding a insurance premium enrollment fee. For a family, as I have, it's $25 a month, $300 a year. If there's just a single retiree, then it's half that. It's $1,250 a month for $150 a year. And these retirees have to get that dollars flowing into that program now if they want their health insurance to continue.
So, Greg, what caused these new enrollment fees, and what do our military retirees have to do to enroll?
Well, it was actually slipped in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2017. So it was actually done about 4 years ago. It is a Department of Defense program, and I know they'd rather spend their money on more ships, more tanks, and more airplanes than health insurance. So they slipped it in, and it's becoming effective. We in Minnesota are in the Western TRICARE region, so people can go online, www.tricarewest, they can Google it, and there are instructions for you to set an allotment out of your retirement check if you want to do it that way. That's the way I did it, so you know, you never see it comes out of your check. And it'll continue like that. And it'll go away when I turn 65. So it's for me, it's just a few more years. But we want to make sure people get the allotment going so when they have a health-related concern in January, they still have health insurance.
So for all our military retirees out there, go online to TRICARE and sign up for these new enrollment fees. If you don't do that, you might lose your health insurance. And if you have trouble with that, call your local county veteran service officer and they'll be able to help. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Tom. I enjoy being on.
That's Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Joining me now is Zach Halverson, who's our engineer and helps us put together Minnesota Military Radio every year. And he's been a great help to us, and he's the magic that pulls it all together. Zach, we've had a tough year in 2020, a pandemic year, and it even hit you. Fortunately, you recovered from it quickly.
Yeah, it was a very interesting year, to say the least. Probably an understatement there, but you know, it was recovered completely, and it's going to be back working with you hopefully sometime soon, be able to actually see you guys in person for a change rather than this remote setup we have right now.
Well, Zach, we're going to look forward to that, but I wanted to let you know that while you were down and out, we wanted to do something special for you, and I think there's someone coming into the studio right now.
Yes.
We put you up for an award. Is Mr. Tyler there?
He is. Hey, Tom.
He is.
How's it going?
Hi, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Good.
Jeff Tyler is the regional president of iHeartMedia. And Mr. Tyler, could you read what it says on the bottom of that award that we put Zach in for?
I will. This is from the .com Awards. It's administered and judged by the Association of Marketing and communication professionals, one of the largest, oldest, and most respected elevators of creative work in the marketing and communication industry. The award says, Zach, the 2020, so we have one good thing this year, gold winner, presented to Zach Halverson, audio, radio, podcast, outstanding audio engineer for Minnesota Military Radio. Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Mr. Zach. Oh, wow. Thank you, Mr. Tyler. Zach's done a marvelous job for us on Minnesota Military Radio, and we just wanted to find a small way to say thank you for all the things he does to make us sound good and pull the radio show together every week.
Yeah, we all appreciate him around here, that's for sure. Good stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Did we surprise you a little bit, Zach?
Yeah, I thought you were getting all the surprises this year. Guess not.
Well, apparently that's a sickness going around, but Sergeant Ben and I and the whole crew appreciate everything you do for us, and we just wanted to surprise you, Mr. Tyler. Thank you very much for helping us with this today.
Not a problem.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Sailor Jerry, Grady Hanna, Greg Peterson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when we talk about the latest legislative and community support efforts from our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.